amazing to see a generation of high school students worship with their mouths and just sing at the top of their lungs when it's just a guitar. No drums, no bass, no electric. Just our voices, right? And that is the heart of worship. To not need things to initiate your heart, you giving yourself to God, but just you singing out, God, I want to come back to the heart of what all of this is about. I want to worship you with everything that's in me. And so I wonder if we could just sing this one more time without a guitar. PRC, if you could just sing just with your voice, and I would just love to hear you guys with everything that's in you. Just sing it out one more time.
I'm coming back to the heart of
Father, it is all about you. And these high school students sit here tonight declaring that it is all about you. It is not about us. And we want to give you everything that's in our minds and our hearts, all of our emotions, everything. We lay them at your feet. And God, I pray for maybe some students that are here tonight for the first time that may feel a little bit uncomfortable. I pray that they would just seek you right now, that you would continue to meet with all of us, that we would take that same energy that we had in singing and that we would focus it and direct it towards your word, and that you would remove me, that you would speak through me, that this would be nothing about me and all about you. In Jesus' name. Everybody screamed, amen. All right. Well, this morning I woke up at about 3 a.m. This happens about once a week. And I wake up and I kind of lay in bed and I kind of toss and turn and I am debating whether or not I should go back to sleep or if I woke up for some reason. And so what happens is about once a week, I'll wake up. It's usually around 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning, and my wife will eventually wake up because I'm tossing and turning. And finally, I'll hear her say, just go do something, okay, after about 5 minutes. And I'll say, okay. And last night, this morning, I cracked open my Bible, and I just started reading the text that we're going to read tonight. And I started thinking about you. And I started thinking about tonight. And I just want you to know tonight that wherever you are coming from, whatever you are going through, I just sat for a while and thought about every single one of you. Who might be coming? Who might bring a friend? And I just prayed for every single one of you that you would meet with God, that you would be able to come to the fourth floor at Watermark as a refuge and meet with God and connect with Him and connect with other people, that you would be able to have fun, and that this really would be a refuge for you. And so as I sat last night, or this morning in the stillness and just prayed for you, I really prayed that God would just show up in this place in a new and fresh way in your hearts. And that is exactly what this series is about. Your heart being awakened to who God is. Last week, I opened up with a story about a fart. How many of you remember that? Yeah? And so what I said was, hey, farting is a lot like sinning, okay? For a second, everybody laughs at a fart. And then after a few seconds, the fart starts to smell and nobody likes it, right? And I told the story about somebody lighting a fart and how a char-grilled fart smells the worst. And sin is just like that. It is fun for a moment. And then after that, it will never be a positive. It will always be a negative. And so farting, like the worst farts always have to do with what you eat, right? And our sin has everything to do with what we put into ourselves and what's at the core of our being. And so last week I talked about roots and your core, and then I talked about sin and how it works itself out in your behavior. And this week I want to take you a step further, and I want to talk about your heart and what you treasure. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. If not, we're going to have it up on the screens, and it should be on your outline. If you do not have an outline or a pen, I've got a couple guys that are going to go around and pass some out. So if you don't have a pen, just kind of shoot your hand up or an outline, and somebody will bring you one. Adam, we got one right here, three or four here, and one over there. And you guys just keep your hands up, and we'll get some to you, okay? Just a couple over here. And Adam, you can just launch them if you want. Just go ahead and launch Chuck some pins. Do what? Good stuff. All right, a couple more up here. Hey, there's some pins on the floor. A couple right here. We need one over here. One right there. You need an outline, okay? Hey, we're going to get this outline thing figured out. Don't y'all worry. Hey, I actually ran out of outlines. Can you believe that? I printed 240 and we've distributed more than that, or we've run out. Audrey, you're up in the front row and you don't get an outline. That's sad. Just write on your arm.
Who wants a crushed outline? Crushed.
Hey, I'm okay with this chaos. How many of you are okay with this chaos? Yeah? Okay. Good. Good deal. All right, we should be good. So let me do this. Let me pray, and we're going to dive in. And I promise next week we'll have enough outlines and pens unless all of you bring a friend next. Well, I'll just go ahead and I'll print 500, okay? Can I do that? Can every single one of you bring a friend next week? All right. Whoever brings the most friends next week, if you can bring more than 10 people that have never been to Shoreline, I will send you and your friends, you got to pay for your airline tickets, but I'll get you a beach house in Florida for a week, okay? And don't worry, the offer's still good for you guys. Beach house for a week in Naples, Florida. You can go and have fun with your friends if you bring 10 or more friends that have never been to Shoreline before, okay? I'm not exaggerating. That's for real. Okay, let me pray, and then we're going to jump in, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, you're a good God, and I pray that we would focus on you right now, that we would learn from your word, and that these students would leave just a little more equipped to know what it means to follow hard after you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and wealth. So we're continuing to talk about the heart, and what I want you to get tonight is that your treasure has everything to do with what gets you the most excited, what you put at the top of your list, that person, that thing, that experience, whatever you elevate as worth more than anything else, that is your treasure. Your treasure is what you value the most, and write this down, your worship is your response to what you value the most. Your worship is your response to what you value the most. So it makes sense that we sing, we're coming back to the heart of worship, that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. So if treasure is what you value the most and worship is your response to what you value the most, those two things are incredibly closely connected. treasure and worship. And I'm going to talk about those things tonight, and I want you to be a sponge tonight, and I want you to soak this up and take this home. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, because treasure is talked about so much in the New Testament. You read the stories of Jesus, and even Paul, his letters, talks about treasure, and treasuring Christ is more important than anything else. And what happens is a lot of times we take the treasure that we're supposed to have for Christ and we run in different directions and we treasure, like I said, an experience. We treasure a person. We treasure something way, way more than we do with Christ. And we elevate things and we put things on the first, at the top of our list, and we value those things and they become an altar, and every altar has a throne, and we worship with our lives. We treasure things that we should never be treasuring. And instead, we should be treasuring Christ, the grace, the mercy, the love that he gives to us. And so let me just ask you tonight, what is it that you treasure? I mean, if everybody's seeking treasure, if this is Christ's operating assumption that everybody is going to seek some sort of treasure, what are you looking for tonight? A lot of you will say, well, tonight, gosh, everything is amazing. Tonight at Shoreline, I'm seeking after Christ. He's my treasure. He is worth more than anything on the face of this planet. But what about tomorrow? Or what about last night? Or what about Friday night? Or what about this past summer? What is your treasure? The crazy thing about treasure and how biblical it is for everybody to treasure something is that there's over 6 billion people living, and all of them treasure something. All of them get excited about something. All of them worship something, some idea. Everybody does it. Everybody's got a throne. Everybody's got an altar. Everybody bows down before something. Everybody's looking for treasure. And many of us, all of us in the past, have been seeking for treasure and finding it in the wrong places. And millions of people all over America, just in our country, are seeking it in the wrong places, and they're looking for the real treasure. They are looking for the real thing so that they can finally say, I have arrived. I have found satisfaction. I came across a video clip that I think illustrates this perfectly. A lot of you know who Tom Brady is. He plays for the New England Patriots. This is just a little segment that I cut down from an interview he did in 60 Minutes, okay? Watch the screens.
Brady has already become a bigger star than Carl Yastrzemski, Larry Bird, or Bill Russell.
You go out with Tom, you just kind of feel sorry for him in a way, kind of, because he's just getting bugged all the time. You know, we float through there. They just see a big, overweight white guy. That's pretty normal out here. You know, but, there's Tom Brady. I mean, everybody wants to be around Tom.
Can you go out to restaurants?
If I have the energy to deal with, putting a happy face on, sometimes I don't feel like that.
Now, you seem a bit the reluctant star.
Well, the problem is you can't have one without the other. You can't have the football fame and not the other stuff. So, in a lot of ways, I've created this myself.
It's what you always wanted.
You're right. It has. And I didn't think it came with all the other baggage, though.
The most eligible bachelor in America.
Well, it's very flattering. But at the same time, I don't think I sleep any better at night being that. No way.
Do you mean like alone or not alone? Right? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, that's right.
In addition to his success on the field and his sex appeal off it, there is also the $60 million 10-year contract to play with the Patriots. It's less money than Peyton Manning and even some journeyman quarterbacks are making, but Brady wanted to leave some money on the table for the Patriots to hire free agents to help them win another Super Bowl. But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
Did you hear that? Right when I cut off, there's still a lot of parts about me that I'm trying to find. I wish I knew. And if you're here tonight and you're skeptical about who I'm talking about tonight, about what we just did, and you hear this all the time and it sounds so cliche, but Jesus really is the answer to all of that. Jesus really does satisfy the treasure and what you're seeking after. Jesus satisfies that. But he's starting to get at it, isn't he? How many of you know what happened to him 2 weeks ago? Terrible injury, out for the season. And I wonder if he's starting to think about this more since his interview, since his injury. Is he starting to ask more and more questions about what true treasure is? Where can I find real value? We're all seeking it. And this is what I think. I think we were all made to do that. I think we were all made to seek after treasure. I mean, Colossians 1:6, we were made by him and we were made for him. We were made by him and we were made for him. We were made for God to worship him, to treasure him. There is a magnet pulling on our hearts, pulling us towards God. There's a compass directing us to him. And a lot of times what we do and what people do in general is they try and seek out other things to satisfy the magnet that's pulling on their heart, to give them treasure, to give them value. They go other places. And what God wants us to get tonight is that Jesus wants our worship. He wants our treasure. He wants us to seek after him. He wants us to allow him to pull us towards him so that we can find real treasure in Jesus. That's what he wants. And so what would it look like if all of us here, 7 days a week, all lived our lives seeking after treasure and looking for it in Jesus? Because, I mean, just think about the treasure that you're seeking. I mean, how many of you, I'll just be honest, I struggle with what people think about me and what people perceive when they look at me. I mean, how many of you struggle with that? I mean, just be honest. Half of you are lying right now. Okay, there we go. There's a few more hands. I mean, a lot of us struggle with how people perceive us and self-esteem and all that. How many of you struggle with sports? Like, you just feel like you are consumed by sports? A bunch of you, right? I mean, your treasure, you are seeking after sports. Now, I feel like I need to stop and say there is nothing wrong with enjoying sports, okay? Friday night, I went to the Lake Highlands football game, and I enjoyed the football game, okay? But I wasn't elevating football as the most important thing in my life, okay? I wasn't elevating it more important than anything else. And what God wants you to understand is that those things are good, but when you elevate it to the highest place in your heart, that's a problem. And that's when you are worshiping something other than Christ. Okay, so when you're thinking about what your treasure is going to be, look at this quote by Louis Giglio. He wrote a book called Wired for Worship, and he said this. He said, "Don't waste your worship or your treasure on some little god, squandering your birthright on idols made only with human imagination. Guard your worship and carefully evaluate any potential takers." Remember what your birthright is? You are made for God. You are made to treasure him and nothing else. He should be elevated to the highest spot in your life. Okay, so everyone's seeking treasure. What are you seeking after? Number two, your treasure is going to control your heart. Your treasure is going to control your heart. Look at verse 21. It says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And whatever you treasure most will determine who you are." Whatever you treasure most is going to determine who you are as a Christian. Now, Let's just get really specific for all of us, okay? I mean, let's think about stuff that we waste our time with that really does control our heart. And I'll just get really honest, okay? Last year, the Kansas Jayhawks won the national championship in basketball. It was the first time they'd won in 20 years, okay? And my anger that I would feel when I would see the Jayhawks lose year after year after year after year in the tournament, I'd be watching during March Madness, and I love the Jayhawks. I grew up in Lawrence, Kansas, love them. I think I have a man crush on like five of the players on the basketball team. And I love the Jayhawks, but I'll just be really honest, it is an unhealthy appreciation that I have for the Jayhawks, okay? And it was really embarrassing this year. We had Russ and Amy Holum over to watch the championship game that the Jayhawks were playing in. And I was literally walking circles through the family room, the living room, the kitchen. I would watch the TV for a second. The Jayhawks would make a mistake. I would say, I mean, I wasn't cussing or anything, okay? Let me just clarify. But I was getting totally upset. I mean, probably some of the ways you guys get frustrated with the Cowboys, or if you're an A&M fan or a Texas fan or whatever, all right? Let's just get that over with. And I was literally, my heart was being controlled by the fate of the Kansas Jayhawks. And year after year, I've lost sleep. I have just jacked my heart up because of my unhealthy love for the Kansas Jayhawks. And I think if all of us were completely honest tonight, you are treasuring something that when things don't go your way or you don't get it, it controls you. And it frustrates you when you don't get what you want. When whatever it is that you're seeking after, you can't grasp it. You get frustrated, you get angry, you get upset. And Jesus, like I said, is the only one that if we're allowing him to control our heart, he's the only one that's going to satisfy that. Okay, so whatever you treasure the most is going to determine who you are. Who you are is controlled by what you treasure. So whatever you treasure, you become. And this is what I want you to think about while we're talking about this. I mean, think about Jesus, okay? If the devil could get Jesus to treasure him instead of his father, then the devil's won, right? Think about the last temptation that Jesus faced. This is just one or two chapters before Matthew chapter 6. The last temptation that Jesus is faced with is this. Satan says, if you'll worship me, if you'll bow down, I'll give you anything you want. I mean, Jesus is hungry. Jesus is tired. It has been hard for the part of him that's 100% man. You know he's 100% God, 100% man. So part of him is not fazed, but part of him is tired. And Satan says, I'll give you anything you want if you'll just bow down. Satan tries to steal Jesus' treasure, and he tries to steal Jesus' worship. And whatever we treasure, whatever controls our heart, we are allowing something other than God to rob us of what God wants us to give to him. That's what's happening. I mean, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says, and he wants to steal your worship. He wants to hijack it from your heart and control your heart. And this is why it is so hard to be a Christian, right? Because we can't see our hearts. And like I said last week, it's like a tree, and there are roots underneath it, and you can't see the roots, and you have to do the hard work of searching your heart to see what you're treasuring, to see what you're worshiping, to see what gets you excited. And if it's anything other than Christ that's at the top of the list, you have to confess that sin and get some people around you and say, I need you to help me treasure Christ more and let my heart be controlled by Jesus. We have to ask the Lord to control our hearts instead of all the other stuff out there, and there's plenty of it, to control you. So what's controlling your heart tonight? At the bottom of your heart, whatever's going on in your mind, whatever's going on in your emotions, what is controlling your heart? I mean, just take 1 minute and just write down in the space on the bottom of the sheet, there's some room, or on the back. Just take some time and just write down two or three things that you know control your heart. Go ahead and do that for just 1 minute. Not only is your treasure going to control your heart, but what controls your heart is going to control your behavior. Remember, worship is a verb. Okay? We are not, when we say worship, we are not describing something. Worship is what you do. It is all over the Psalms. I mean, I read through the Psalms, and I just wrote down a few things that describe worship. Here's just a handful of them. Shout to God, sing a new song, dance before Him, clap your hands, bow down, lift up your heads, tell of His might, stand in awe, meditate on His truth, walk in His ways, still your heart, cast down your idols, run to Him, make a loud noise, lift your hands, rock out the fourth floor, I added that one, clash the cymbals, praise Him with the trumpet sound, seek His face, tell the nations. True worship is a whole life response to God's greatness and glory. It's a response that taps into your mind, your soul, your heart, and all your strength. Whatever you treasure is going to control your behavior. I was talking to David Peniel, our junior high director, and he was telling me, he has become an expert on the Jonas Brothers. I don't know if some of you know that. But he told me the other day that they're making this movie with the Jonas Brothers in it, and they actually had to hire fake Jonas Brothers fans, okay? Not just Jonas Brothers fans. They had to go to Hollywood and find people to play as Jonas Brothers fans. And this is why. Because in the movie, you see people, okay, you see the Jonas Brothers at the concerts and the people just go crazy, right? But if they did an actual behind-the-scenes shot of fans with the Jonas Brothers, like, they literally get so excited about the Jonas Brothers that they can't control their behavior. Like, they literally have to have bodyguards around them, and it wouldn't work well for the movie if they just had people mobbing the Jonas Brothers. And so they hired these two twins out of Hollywood to just act like crazy fans, but they can still kind of control what these girls are doing. They give them a script because they literally couldn't do it with just normal people. And what's happened with Jonas Brothers fans, just some of them, I know some of y'all like them, but some Jonas Brothers fans have placed them so high, they've elevated them so high that literally when they see them, like, they pee their pants, they can't control their body functions, and they just go crazy. Okay? They literally can't control themselves. Worship is a verb, right? I mean, everybody does it. Everybody's worshiping something. Hebrews chapter 13, listen up, verses 15 through 16 say this. Through Jesus, therefore, listen to this, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I put in italics in that passage on your handout, the word continually. Worshiping God should be something that we do continually, constantly worshiping God. Worshiping God while you're texting. Worshiping God while you're at home with your family. Worshiping God with your iPod. worshiping God in your classroom, worshiping God in conversations with your friends at Starbucks, wherever you're at, continually letting your behavior be ruled by a heart that loves Jesus. That's what this is all about. Is you saying, I put so much worth in Jesus, the fact that he died for me, the fact that he paid my penalty, that he has cleansed me, and I am completely righteous when he looks at me. He sees his kid. He loves me. And it is us responding to that fact and saying, God, I want to worship you continually with everything that I do, everything that I am, everything that I'm thinking, everything that I'm doing is going to be ruled by a heart that loves Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about working up some sort of behavior that's going to try and make it seem like you love Christ. It's about letting God mold in you a heart that worships Jesus with every single heartbeat. That's what it's all about. What God is saying tonight is this: everything you are is me. Everything you have is mine. And I want you to be constantly reflecting my goodness and the grace and the love that I give to you. Constantly reflecting it. And I just wonder what our hearts are going to be like this week. I mean, are our hearts going to beat for God, or are our hearts going to beat for ourselves? Or are our hearts going to beat for lust? Or are our hearts going to beat for status? Or are our hearts going to beat with anger? Whatever idol it is, whatever altar you've created, whatever throne you're bowing down at, God wants to move that. And he just wants to sit in that place. And he just wants you to bow down and worship him with everything that's in you. Let me pray for us. Father, you are totally worth everything. I pray that our students would see that. That they would really take your word, what you have promised us about treasure, that if we find it in you, nothing can be taken away. Nothing can be destroyed. I pray that we would take that truth and just continually be seeking after you. That we would not turn towards things that fade away. That we would just be satisfied in who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's do this. Are y'all cool with singing one more song? Can we do that? Or are y'all ready to leave? Are y'all ready to leave? Okay, let's do one more song, and then you guys are going to be dismissed, okay? So, quick announcement, okay? Quick announcement. Listen up. Listen up, listen up. Do not take your pens with you. We had 200 pens stolen last week, okay? So, drop your pens. Do not throw them at me. Just leave them under your chair. Make sure you sign up for Hideaway tonight before you leave. If your mom or dad's outside, get a check written. We'd love to know this week how many people are going. Listen up. If you do get signed up next week, it's fine, but I want as many of you as possible to sign up this week, all right? Hey, let's be dismissed with a song. Y'all sing your hearts out, and then y'all can leave. Make sure, please, do not leave with a pen tonight. Thank you.
Hey, let's stand up and let's sing the chorus to Heart of Worship. Sing this one last time to kind of send us out tonight. And I'm coming back to the heart. Coming back, and I'm coming back to you. Mm-hmm. Amen. God, thank you for tonight, Lord. And God, just send us out here. Let us be a light for you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for speaking us tonight, God. We say this in your name. Amen. Y'all have a great week. We'll see y'all next Sunday.